giving a lot of testimonies. I mean, been some tremendous testimonies about how the Lord has delivered from drug addictions, how the Lord has just changed our lives and built it and delivering people from things. You're going to hear about, there's one that you're going to hear about, and that person also dealt in drugs. Not only took drugs, but also was selling drugs. So there's a lot of different things that have happened. But today, since I'm speaking, it's going to be boring. Okay? It's going to be, yeah, pray for me, because it's going to be boring compared to a lot of these other testimonies. But I think that's good, too, sometimes. Because I was born at a young age. And I'm starting off like Bud did. I'm going to go just, so I'm starting off earlier than Bud. And I was the youngest of four boys. And we were raised Lutheran. And I was considered the good one of the family. And it wasn't that I was a good child, that I didn't do anything. I was caught. I watched my brothers and I saw how they got caught. And I said, oh, okay, so I'll just make sure I don't get caught. I saw my mother turning my brother's shirt inside out and taking the pocket and turning it to look for tobacco because they were smoking. Oh, I caught him again. So I turned all my pockets inside out, made sure there was no tobacco in them. So being the youngest, sometimes you can learn from that. And those that are the youngest in the family understand what I'm talking about. But I was raised Lutheran. And every Sunday morning, we were in church at 8 o'clock. And heaven help any of us boys that delayed dad 1 minute, because we weren't going to church late. You were going to be on time. In fact, you were going to be early. And then after that, that was at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then at 9:30, I went to Sunday school. And I went 52 weeks in a row. And in 1960, I had not missed a Sunday that whole year, and they awarded me with a Bible. So that was my first Bible. And I started to read it. I wasn't a good reader. And I started to read it, and I couldn't put it down. I just kept reading and reading and reading. And I thought, okay, I'm all set. I'm not like those Catholics. They're over there talking in Latin, and they're worshiping these idols, these praying Joseph and all the others, and that's, I don't believe in that. We can't be doing that. So I'm saved. I believed that I knew Jesus, and I was baptized. And the way the Lutherans will teach it is, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's it. That's all you need. So I spent a lot of my childhood growing up and into young adult and believing that I was going to heaven. I'm going to change that. I'm just going to heaven. And so I can do what I want to do. I can live my life the way I want to live it. And right out of high school, 10 days after graduation, I joined the Marine Corps. And uneventful, really. I, you know, went through boot camp and wound up getting pneumonia and carried that through 6 more months of training before it finally caught up with me. My health was pretty shot, and I was put out of the Marine Corps. They put me on disability. And it was tragic. My whole world was destroyed. Everything that I wanted 30 years in the Corps. My health was gone. my future, something I had wanted since I was a child. I wanted to be a Marine since I was 9 years old. And I was being put out. My whole life was destroyed, or so I felt. And I didn't realize at the time that God had his hand on me. He wasn't ready to pull me in yet, but he had his hand on me. And he was guiding me. And I can't help but think about Joseph. Joseph's brothers beat him and sold him into slavery. What would have happened if his brothers had left him alone and he stayed home with dad and he hadn't gone off to Egypt? Not only would Israel have been dying off because of the famine, but so would Egypt. Egypt would have been destroyed. All of this would have happened if they had not done what they did. It was cruel. It was something that we consider is terrible, but it was all part of God's plan to move from one direction that he was going in life. He moved him to another direction, leading him to go now to Egypt. And because of that, bless his entire family and save all of the Jews. And so that's the way it was with me. If I would have stayed in the Corps for 30 years, I could have been killed at wars. I would have been in several wars. Could have been killed in some of the wars. Or I could have just, had that, been all over the world traveling, and I never would have met my wife and my bride. And I never would have had my children. And most likely, I never would have been saved. So the Lord was guiding through things and through mishaps in my life, was actually guiding me in the direction he wanted me to go. And so I had figuring, I still figured out Lutheran, I still had it. I had a perfect life. I could do what I wanted to do, and I was going to heaven. I knew it. Well, the Lord was tugging at my wife and I when we had just built a house and doing good. My career with Chrysler or FMC was just taking off and getting going, and everything was really looking great for us. And we thought, well, everything's perfect. We just don't want much to do with the neighbors. We're just going to enjoy this house and, our kids, and this is just going to be perfect. Well, we had a neighbor, and she was one of the biggest pests that ever lived. And she's not in here now. She was here earlier, but I don't, she knew I was talking. I guess that was it. But she was a pest. This woman kept saying, oh, you guys got to come. You need to come to church. And we got church, and we got God. I got God. I'm like, I don't need it. I got God. So she says, well, we're going to have a Bible study. You want to come to this Bible study? I said, nah, we don't need to go to no Bible studies. Why would we go to a Bible study? And I said that the only thing I ever really got into was prophecy. So the next week she comes by and knocking on the door, being a pest. And she turned around and says, oh, we're going to be doing it on the book of Revelation. It's okay. I'll go then. You're going to do it on prophecy. I'll go and see what you want to do. Well, there was a man leading this Bible study. And there was something. There was something about this guy that was unreal. I mean, he was just, the love of God was just pouring out of this man. And it was like, who is this guy and what does he have? And I said, I gotta have what he has. I gotta know what it is. Those of you that have been here for a while know who Vern Lee was. And so you know when I speak about a man of God, that's, you know, if you look in the dictionary, you'd see Vern's picture. Definitely all he cared about was serving his fellow man and just, I mean, he was our mission pastor. 2 o'clock in the morning, someone would call and say, my mother's dying. She's Catholic, but the priest won't come tonight. And he'd say, what room? And he'd jump up and he would run and lead them to the Lord before they passed. That's the way, and that's the love that this man had. He was just a tremendous, tremendous man of God. But he had something. And I'm like, okay, what does he have? What is this? And wound up saying the sinner's prayer and just giving my heart to the Lord. And it was funny because I was expecting something different. I was expecting, you know, you say the sinner's prayer and there it is right now. You know, that reminds me of, there's an old movie called Sergeant York, and it deals with a guy in World War I, and he is angry. And it's before he gets saved, and he's so angry. He is going to kill 2 people because they sold a piece of land that he wanted, that he felt was rightfully his. So he was on his way to kill them, and it's starting to rain and pouring. And as he's going in this anger, he's drunk and angered, and a bolt of lightning comes down and hits him, destroys his gun, knocks him off his mule, and he's just, and he, what does he hear? He hears the church. And he goes and he gives his heart to the Lord. That's what I was expecting. That the minute I said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, that a bolt of lightning was going to hit me. It was going to come down and it was going to strike me, and I was going to just be this totally changed person. I was going to be just like Vern, and what a rude awakening. I realized there was a lot more involved. There was a lot more that I had to do to be able to be anywhere near with that man, and I will never be the man that Vern Lee was. So it was a change then that I realized that I had to go through. I had to slowly go through the process. But I found that the Word was what was going to lead me and guide me. Reading it, just like I did when I was this 9-year-old kid that couldn't put the Bible down. That I had to get into it. I had to start reading it. And I had to start studying it. I had to understand what was being said and let it change my life. Because there's nothing that we can go through that isn't in the Word. There's nothing. It's there. And the answer to all of our problems is there. I've been through things that I couldn't understand why God put me through this. And then 20 years later, it's like a light bulb comes on that says, that's why. Oh, look at these people that need your help. They won't accept it from anybody but you, because you've been there, you've done it. You're helping them to get through. And I just, if I can make the difference in one person's life, then my life is a success. So I've got a little word, though, that I wanted to bring. There's something that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and I think it has a lot to do with the way my walk has become and how I got here. And, you know, I was like I said, I was thinking I was perfect in the world until the Lord let me know I'm far from it yet. I got a long way to go. But the word is there. And now Jesus, when he spoke a lot of times in parables. And it was strange because he wasn't the first to ever speak in parables. There's 15 examples in the Old Testament of people speaking in parables. So it wasn't something new. I mean, David was corrected with a parable with about him and Bathsheba. So there's parables all through where they talk about it. And the other rabbinical leaders of the time, Jesus was considered a rabbi or teacher. And at the time, he was the only one that went out to the people. These other rabbis sat and taught students. And the students had to come to them and be selected and tested and then become their disciples after that. And then they taught them and sent them out. Well, Jesus did just the opposite. He went out to the world and selected his disciples, his inner circle. And he taught the people. So by teaching in parables, he was able to reach and people to understand at their own level, putting it in context of something they would understand. So, and it's mentioned three different gospels here, but I'm going to use in Luke 8, 5 through 8, is talking about the parable of the sower of seeds. And it says, a sower went out to sow his seeds. And as he sowed, some fell away aside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock. And soon it sprang up, it withered away because of lack of moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bared fruit 100-fold. And then he said these things. He cried, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. That is so fascinating, because it kind of reminds me of part of it as to where my life was and where my life is now. And there's a difference there. When we look at it, because Jesus says, you know, this is like the kingdom of heaven. How are you going to get to heaven? The kingdom of heaven and being there. And when we look at it, when it says a sower went out to sow his seeds, that's Jesus himself. He's the one that is sowing the seed of the gospel. That's what the seed is. The seed is the word of God given unto us. So when he speaks about the seeds being trodden underfoot and the fowls devour it, it's the devil. The devil is that fowl that is there to try to take away anything and keep you away from the word at all cost. Whether it's changing what the word says or manipulating it or destroying it as quickly as possible. And then it said some fell upon a rock. And it sprang up and withered away because there was lack of moisture. Ground that is being spoken of is us. All phases of the ground is our lives, us. Are we hardened? How many people have you known that you've tried to explain about God, you've tried to give them the word of God, but it's like, I've heard it. I don't need it. Don't bother me anymore. The rock is hard, the soil is hard. So it'll spring up. Okay, I know about God. But there's nothing to water it. There's no moisture. There's no root. And it dies. It dies out, and then they want nothing to do with you or with it. They're just completely staying away. And this next one was me. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. The thorns being the world around us. We're gathering this life and just living. We know of God, we know the word, but we're too busy. The world around us, everything around us is choking us off. It's just taking us away and just choking us. And that was where my life was. I was too caught up in the world around me to worry about God, because I was already saved. I was fine. And then the last here, and then it says, others fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. That, again, is God preparing us. The things that I went through in my life to bring me to salvation was God preparing the ground, preparing me, and trying to get me to understand that there were things that I needed to be and to change. And as I said, I'm still going through a lot of change. I have a lot of change to go. But there's four things we can do with biblical truth. You can reject it. Say it's not true, it's not real, the Bible's wrong, science is right. I've had a friend that had said that was saved and said the Bible's wrong. It's 7,000 years, genealogy, 1,000 years, and 20,000 years ago Indians were angling for fish, so it can't be right. We're wrong. And he walked away from the Lord. And I tried to explain to him that he was missing something that was there that I learned through more studies. But he fell away and said, if that's wrong, it's all wrong. Because the devil is going to do everything he can to try to convince us that these are lies, that it's not the word of God. It's some man's word. And that's why he's going to try to convince us that, who do you think you are? You're wrong. You're totally wrong. The second thing that we can do with our biblical truth is we can get very emotional. And a lot of times you'll see that people get, when they're first saved, and they're so excited, they're so emotional, everything, oh, the Lord, I got saved, everything is great. And my dog died. Why did God do that? How could God do that? I'm done. I don't care anymore. I don't need God if he's going to be that way. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. You know, I was supposed to win the lottery, and it didn't happen. Yeah, we're all supposed to get it, right? And Terry's saying, yeah, 10%. 10%. 15, yeah, we can afford 15 at that. But so we're, you know, you're sitting there and It didn't happen. So now I reject it. I reject the word. And you've seen there's been a lot of people over the years that I've known that, boy, they got excited for the Lord, but not for long. They didn't stay with that excitement. And then there's those, and this is basically where I was. Now we can just put things of the world ahead of God. We know who God is. We believe that, like I did, I believed I was saved. But I let the things of the world take over. They were more important. They became an idol to me. My job, my family, where can I owe money? I can build this, I can do that. I've got this, I've got that. Oh, I don't have time to go to church because, you know, I need to really work harder. I need to spend more time in my job. I don't have time for God. The world became more important than He who created the world. Putting God second place, He's no place. If He isn't number one, He isn't anything. He's not important to us. He needs to be the most important thing in our lives. And then the fourth, again, is you take in the word of God and you abide in that word and you grow personally, and its fruit comes and springs up through the gospel, Jesus Christ. We need to change as we go. The interesting thing is that, you know, God had used this parable. The Jews of the time, they understood good ground, fertile ground, being able to raise crops. And, you know, 100-fold if you got wheat, and for every stalk of wheat, you get 100 more seeds that come off that you can turn into wheat that you can grind or you have for seed for the next year. But they understood that plant a seed. That seed is gets into the ground. And which way does that seed grow? It grows down. It doesn't grow up. The seed has to grow into the ground. The root has to start first. Without a root, the plant dies. It can't exist without the root. Understanding that the root of our foundation is the word of Christ, the word of God. Not only the New Testament, a lot of people will only read the New, the Old Testament as well. The two complement one another, the things of the old are explained with the new. So we have to understand, the root goes first in this plant. You have to have, though, for the root to grow again, like you said, if it's on a rock and there's no foundation, there's no solid root, it's going to die. Or if it's choked off by the world around us, it's going to die. But God prepared our soil through our life, through our experiences. He has gotten the soil ready for the planting of His word, to be able to watch it grow. But first, it has to have a solid foundation. By having the solid foundation, we're not going to run the first time that we stub our toe. We're not going to say, well, it doesn't exist. We're not going to say that the word is a lie. We're going to say, yes, Lord, teach me, guide me, bring me to where you want me to be. Then once the root is solid and in, now comes a healthy plant. And then the plant comes, but it doesn't, the minute that plant breaks ground, you're not harvesting your fruit. It takes a while. It takes the watering, it takes the sunshine, and the plant grows and continues. It doesn't instantly have fruit. The plant has to be solid and strong, and then you will see the fruit start to form. And once it does, it's just a blessing that will continue to go and go and go. That's the way our lives have to be. The minute you're saved, you're not an evangelist, you're not a preacher, you're not, you have to, it has to come with time, with development, with God, with the Holy Spirit, which was something I didn't understand. Before I got saved, I didn't understand it. And because I remember there was a lot of teachings here, because we started coming here to the old lakeshore, and she's still not in here. And that person was Maria Stone, for anybody who wants to know. But Maria's not here, but she was a pest, and I love her for it. We definitely love her for it, because I wouldn't be here right now if it hadn't been for her. But so understanding that foundation has to be there, that we have to grow and develop, and that fruit is going to come. But again, it's in the Word and reading and studying the Word. I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and he's been a Christian for over 40 years. And we were talking, and he said, yeah, he says, you know, I have read the Bible at least once a year all the way through. Every year I read the Bible. He said, but you know, it's the first time that I've actually stopped reading so many, I got to read three chapters. I got to read this today. But I didn't read it, I read it. I didn't look at what he was saying. What was God telling me through this word? The Holy Spirit had to guide him. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit started to talk to him, because he slowed down. He wasn't reading for the sake of reading. He was reading for understanding. He was reading for that relationship with Jesus. Once he had that, and he says, 40 years he'd been reading and reading and reading, but he never read it. He just read the words. He never let those words come into his heart. And the Holy Spirit, when we get Spirit-filled, he's there to help guide us. But he's also that little voice in the back that's saying, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You better straighten it up. But I remember how before I was Spirit-filled, I was here in this church, and people were being prayed for all over the place here. And they were being slain in the Spirit. And I thought, yeah, it's kind of fake. I can't see it. So I was right over here, and Murray Jackson was here at the time. He's an evangelist friend of ours that goes to Africa and all over, but he was here, and he laid hands on me to start to pray for me to get the Holy Spirit. And I was standing there, and I'm like, no, I ain't, this is fake. People are just leaning back. It ain't happening to me. No. And the Holy Spirit taught me something. He put me on my face, not on my back. My legs went off and underneath me, and bang, I was down on that ground. And I was like, holy. And I was, boom, I couldn't move. I was nothing. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't move. And I got up speaking so weird, I didn't know what I was saying. I started speaking in tongues, and it was like, whoa, what just hit me? And so I told Murray, I said, what is this? What's going on? He said, well, you're speaking in tongues. I said, well, I don't understand any of it. He says, it's not for you. It's for God. You're talking to him. He knows what you're saying. That's all that matters. But then is when I really, really started to get deep into the word, deep into the history and culture of Israel and the Old Testament, and started really digging deep in. But reading and understanding, you see, the Bible itself is, it's not just for reading, just so we understand this. The Bible is not for reading, it's for transforming our lives. Changing our lives. When we sit there and hear of what Jesus did, and it doesn't change you, you need to go back and reread it and spend more time with it to know the suffering, the pain, what he went through for us, what he did for us. But understanding, and it, the more you read, the more time you spend in the word, and not just reading it, but reading it, the more you will see the transformation in your own lives, where we're getting rid of junk. All the garbage that built up in my life before I was saved had to go. Yeah. And the Lord is still working to cleanse that and clean it out of me. And he's got a lot to do. But thank God that he's able to do it. But we have to discipline ourselves to do just that, to get there and to daily get into the word, to study the word daily and internalize it. Not just read it, but internalize it. What is he saying? The thing is, though, what is so amazing to me is that when I read the word, the Holy Spirit is talking to me through that word for me, for my life. And then when he is talking to Angel, it's different, the same verse. But he's telling Angel something that relates to his life. Now, how is that possible? That's the same words. Because it's Holy Spirit using these words, teaching us through the word, and letting us grow through the word. My growth and his growth are different. But the Lord still, through his word and through the Holy Spirit, is able to continue to let us understand what it is that he's saying. And every one of us hears differently from the Lord. Otherwise, we'd be robots. And there's a lot of good ways to study the Bible, but one of my favorites is getting into a really good Bible study. Because when you're studying, you're doing a Bible study, you're doing it with another group of people, and the Holy Spirit is talking to them in sometimes in different ways than you. And you're able to go slow and study and go in depth. I remember I had done a Bible study many years ago with, Terry's not in here, Terry Coco, my son Steve, and Terry's dad, Bill. And we did the book of Zechariah. There's 14 chapters in the book of Zechariah. And we were done with it in no time. It only took us 18 months to go through that one book. There were times that we did not even get a full line done because we got so in-depth and so deep into what was being said and the effect that it had on our lives. We met every Monday from 6 to 8:30. And it was just such an in-depth, deep, deep study. But it also helped me to understand more about how to do deep studies, how to get more involved. And you know, been involved in quite a few Bible studies since then, and look forward to getting back into some of those Bible studies again. But it's something that we just need to be able to continue to study the Word. I'm going to close with just one last passage here, and then I know it's kind of early yet, but that's okay, because I'm going to open the altar up in a minute. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profound for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The biggest part for me has always been the correction, for instruction in righteousness. Letting us know that the Word is not somebody writing a word. It's God through the Holy Spirit writing that word and just using a man to write it and understand it. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, but it wasn't his words, it was God's words. It was God giving it to him and showing him what he wanted him to write. And that is the root. That's that going way back to the foundation, starting with the first, God created the heavens and the earth. And by having the understanding of what God is telling us and letting the Holy Spirit guide us, he will continue to cleanse us. He will continue to transform us and change us. And we can just be so grateful that we have a Lord that loves us enough to want to correct us and gave us his word, his sword, and said, here, use it, study it, learn it. And once you do, teach others. Help others to come along with it. Be willing to open it up and say, this is it. But moreover, allow us to be vulnerable enough to say, and humble enough to say, help me, Lord, because I can't do it on my own. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you, and I need you to speak to me continually through the Spirit and through the Word. And make me excited about that word all the time. I just thank you for the opportunity today, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have done and how you are the guide. You are the one leading our lives. As we go through things, Lord, let us not be afraid. Let us not be upset. You be our strength, Lord, and help us to grow for your glory, for your wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Church, be blessed. Have a wonderful week.